We're doing Sefer Amidot. We're up to the 14th chapter of the Shaar HaDaat, page Tzadi Beis. We'll dedicate our learning to Sar HaChai Bat Dani HaKohen. The Magen Midovna had been discussing the word V'yatziv. We began by discussing Emet, it is true, and now he says V'yatziv, and it has representation, it is firm. The idea, he says, is that there are mitzvos that are not palatable to circumcise oneself. It's not too much fun. Not to work on Shabbos. Not to eat certain things. And our capacity to live up to these mitzvot, he says, stems from the fact that it's in our nature from the time that a person's born. It's things that were taught from the previous generation. And it's a person's righteousness to be a link in this chain of tradition. All of this together is what gives us the capacity to stand up to this great responsibility. And last time we discussed, so what does the Chozer B'Tshuva say? He doesn't have all of those things rooting for him. He didn't grow up with that. He doesn't have that tradition that he gets from his parents. He has to start anew, and we said that these are unique people. For the masses to stand up to this, it would be very difficult if we didn't have all these different supports that we grow up on it, that it's in our nature, that that we get it on tradition from the very onset. Kashel tireh la'ayin, he says, as you can see, mi sherotzeh le'esor yisar al nafsho, if a person decides he will take upon himself to distance himself from something, look at how hard it is for him to be careful of what he was accustomed to. A guy decides, he hears that tuna has too much mercury, he's not going to eat any more tuna. Suddenly it's hard not to eat tuna. But I like tuna. I always have a Marosh Chodesh treat, is a bagel with tuna. Is it a big deal? No, but it's hard. You take something that we're accustomed to and you take it away from a person, it's difficult. But the pure Torah forbade what it forbade, and it rules us and all our assets. And the Torah guides us in its paths, like a servant by his master, like a maid by her master. We don't eat anything that the Torah prohibits. It always stuns me, the people who can't go without a cigarette. And yet comes Shabbos, and they go without a cigarette. Comes Yom Kippur, somehow they go without a cigarette. They might be antsy at the end of Shabbos, you see them waiting to get that cigarette. But I remember I had a friend who was always looking at Wednesday's Shabbos, before you could light the Abdullah candle, he was outside all lit up. But that's amazing. 24 hours? You guys, if you think about it, 24 hours without a cigarette? I don't smoke.
That's the only problem I have with smoking. It's like my one drug. But it takes away from the sanctity of Shabbos to be wanting a cigarette all during Shabbos.
I'm not an advocate of smoking. But just saying, he's saying, look at how, if we personally decide we're not going to smoke a cigarette today, it's very hard for us. But if we have a Shabbos, even though it's difficult, we stand up to it. And the same thing goes with the diet. If a person decides he's not going to have any more coffee with sugar and milk, and he's going to watch his weight and he's going to watch his cholesterol, he has a very hard time. And yet, if someone tells him that meat's not kosher, okay, so suddenly I'm not interested. That's not easy. And here again, the Chozer B'Tshuva could pat himself on the back, and he knows that he had to overcome all of this. This isn't easy. I'm with you. We're in the middle of the paragraph, page Tzadi Beis. The beginning of the line is the word lo. Lo nochal ki ma she'etir lanu Torah. We don't need anything that the Torah, our holy Torah, doesn't permit. Ve'lo nishte ve'lo nareach ve'lo nedaber. We don't drink, we don't smell, we don't speak. We don't do a small act or a big act, unless it's within the permissibility of the Torah. You see, the Torah decrees upon us about the essence of eating, and what type of, how we should eat. Meaning, not only does the Torah prohibit some of the animals and fowl, that are impure, even when it comes to animals or birds that are permitted, the Torah says first you have to slaughter it in accordance with the halacha, then you have to salt it, uvasal bechalav, and you can't eat a cheeseburger, you can't have meat with milk, v'sharei trefot hamizdamnot, and the Torah said after you slaughter an animal, you gotta check that it doesn't have the different blemishes that cause that animal to be disqualified. Uvmalbushenu, comes to our clothing, yesh mitzvah tzitzit, the Torah says you have to wear a special Jewish undershirt, you wear a tzitzis, a person has to be careful not to wear a garment that has wool and linen together in the garment. The Torah tells us what we may say, what we may not say. You're not allowed to say something that might inadvertently cause harm or pain to someone else. The Torah, in every front of our life, the Torah tells us what to do. The Torah tells us where we may look and where we may not look. A person's not allowed to see evil things. A person's not allowed to see things that will arouse him, that will cause his thoughts to go astray. A person has to be careful what he listens to. He's not supposed to listen to something that will also cause his mind to think improper things. You're not even allowed to allude to what they call to flirt. Valmizad. But it says you're not even allowed to hint, to make signs that are attractive to the opposite gender. You want to meet the girl? Okay, do it in a modest way. Find someone to set you up. Yeah, you meet her, you marry her, great, good for you. But to start flirting and this one winks at that one and things like that, that's all prohibited. But tava, the Torah controls our desire. One of the Ten Commandments, thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, his car, his house, his, even our desires, the Torah tells us what we're allowed to and not allowed to. Vakina, jealousy, vasinan, hatred, umachshava v'yichu, thought and even fleeting thoughts. Are guided by the Torah. Sof davar, the end of the day, what you have is, in rega bazman, there isn't a moment in time, velo makom ba'olam, nor a place in the universe, velo davar ba'nimtzaim, nor anything that exists, asher lo timshol be'em ha'Torah, that is not under the Torah's dominion, that the Torah doesn't have something to say about it. Ve'en anu reshut la'ani ha'ivar, and we can't move a limb, l'dabel davar, utter a word, lachshov u'la'arer, to think, or even to just muse, Mashe Yechas v'Shalom Negedat Torah, something that would be against the Torah, or Linatek Ma'avodat Hashem, or to detach ourselves from the service of Hashem. Gam Kimutrim Anu LaSok B'Tzochei Gufot, B'Mlacha U'Masa U'Matan, even though we're allowed to deal with our physical needs, you're supposed to have a job, do business, whatever is necessary, you buy what you need, you sell what you need, K'fam Uzerim Anachnu Mipi HaMelech HaChacham Alav HaShalom. But even within that realm, a person would say, I'm going to my job, what does the Torah have to say about that? So Shlomo tells us, King Solomon says in Proverbs, Bechol derechecha da'ehu. In everything you do, you should know God. Meaning, God's presence in one's life is supposed to be reflected in everything he does, in the way he stands in line at the bank, in everything. So then this too is encompassed by our service of Hashem. That's what the verse says in Isaiah. My servant I support, my chosen one who I love. Hashem says, he is my servant, he is my chosen one. Our service is like one who realizes who created him, and he serves before his master. We're not like neighbors with God. Sometimes we want God to be a good neighbor. Let's build good fences. I won't bother you, and you don't bother me. Let me do my thing, right? No. God's relationship with us is like, I made you. You're mine. Now wait a second, God. So what do you want of me? Okay. Want me to lead a moral life. I can't cheat on my taxes. Okay. And I can't go looking at whatever I want on the internet. And I have to be careful where my eyes linger and where my thoughts linger. Okay, that's not a neighbor. There's another opinion here in my life. In everything I do. And then it's not only another opinion, it's the prime opinion. I gotta bow down and say, okay, if that's what you say, that's how it goes. But it's not like a neighbor holech pam nevakir tov et beito, that you only visit every so often in his house. But by the same token, it's not like a neighbor with whom you could sometimes have a rift and there's no longer a relationship, im kirav vehit katsif, where your neighbor could be starving, could be angry, and you have nothing to do with it. You don't know what's in your neighbor's fridge. Meaning this intimate relationship goes in both directions. It's not like a neighbor where he might be hungry, or he might be satiated and you don't know the difference. It's a very intimate relationship. We say Hashem is a part of everything. And this is the idea of the Yetziv, that this truth has representation in everything we do, and it not only has representation, Hashem gave it standing which in any other way would be unnatural. If any ruler would try to impose on his people the type of laws that the Torah tells us, they wouldn't stand for it. You're going to tell me what day to rest, what time to rest. You're going to look at my house, whether I do shave a minute after sunset or I don't shave a minute after sunset. You're going to see whether I make my tin kli rishon or not. And I'll tell you, the greatest example is the laws of family purity. That's an area where people are in their own home. They both don't want to keep it. And no one's going to know the difference. A normal couple, the last thing they want to do is keep the laws of family purity. They want to be together. Who wants to suddenly distance themselves from the spouse? Torah suddenly says, once her period starts, for 12 days, the couples don't touch. They separate their beds. They don't pass things from hand to hand. Come on. A person gets married and that's the furthest thing from his mind. Obviously, a religious person learns and prepares and he's aware that that's what married life is going to look like. Part of the month is a relationship like this and part of the month is a relationship like that. But here, in the confines of one's own home, one's own relationship, the Torah comes in and says, this is what you do and this is what you don't. No king would get away with that. There's a famous story about a king that got upset at his people. He saw people doing Kiddush Levana, singing David Melech Yisrael Chai V'Kayam. So he got upset. He said, they're not faithful subjects to me. Someone told him, you see, they're not faithful to you. They're still talking about David. And he was ready to banish the Jews from his area. He said, what kind of servants are they? And there's a whole long story how the Jews got out of it. But the truth is, look at what a powerful king David was. Look at what a powerful king Moshe was. We're still in keeping. We still do what they instituted. We still keep the institutions. It's been a few thousand years now. And we're still keeping the institutions of King Solomon. We wash our hands in the morning. We wash our hands before bread. Netilat Yadayim. We have an Erev around the city. That's an institution of King Solomon. It's been 3,000 years now and we still respect it because we don't view it as Solomon's institution. We view it as a representation of what God wants us to do. And that's what he says, V'yatziv, that the Torah has representation. The Torah permeates throughout our whole being. And there's nothing in life that has an impact like the Torah does on everything we do. To the point where we do things that are counterintuitive. A person slices off a part of his body. That's pretty extraordinary. A person circumcises. Torah said so. That's what he does. And the Magid Midubna again is saying that this is something which Hashem ingrained within us. It's something which we feel incumbent to do. It's something which we have an inner drive. Even if a person is born and he has no clue what God wants of him, deep down inside he has this drive that will lead him there. And last night we quoted Hitler, who recognized that. We said there's a Maharal that describes it, that we have a tradition that says it, but it's phenomenal to see that Hitler saw it too. We said that powerful line where Hitler said that he will never succeed in leading the word to barbarianism, and he called it barbarianism. He says he will never succeed in leading the world to there so long as there's one Jewish child, even if he has no education, no scrolls, no teacher, no parents, but his soul is going to lead the world to have a conscience. That's what Hitler said. He says if there's still one left behind, he knows that it's within their DNA. And so he can't leave even one behind because then he could turn a whole city against him. He could infiltrate the world and bring back a conscience to the world. Hitler viewed the conscience as a weakness, as something that's not positive. We view it as something positive. Okay, we'll pick up here. Be'ezrat Hashem, I don't want to end with Hitler. Let's end with something more positive than that. V'atorah kedusha lo tisaf panim gam lenar gam lezaken. The Holy Torah shows no favorites. Doesn't matter if someone's young or old. Aval tachmir al omdei avoskei yoter v'yoter. But the more you learn, the more you deal in Torah, the more Torah expects of you. Ad kishaklu letalmid chacham ashgagot kizdonot. To the point where when a person is learned, so then even the things he does by mistake, they count like he did them on purpose. Hakalot kachamurot. A person who, the more learned he is, the more they hold him to task. Even the light mitzvot are counted like very heavy mitzvot. Kemamar, as the verse says, ki v'rov chokhma rov kas. The more you know, the more angry, the more is expected of you, the more difficult it is. Life gets more difficult with the more you know. That's what we said last class. I'm not here to solve problems, but to make problems. Because the more you know, the more complicated things become. When you look at a distance, everything seems simple and makes sense and it flows. When you start delving into things, things get more complex. Suddenly it's not so simple. Kivirov chokhma, the more you know, rov kas, the more difficulty, the more anger. It's not simple. The Yosef Dat, Yosef Machov, and the more knowledge, the more pain. When you don't know anything, everything's easy. We're not going to end on that one either. Okay. Zerorat ma'amar v'yatziv. So that's what the word v'yatziv is coming to point out. Ki shalosh lishonotim. Amida kima hatzava. Because there are three terms. There's getting up, there's standing, and then there is standing firm, hatzava, to have a firm standing. U'l'chol echad ma'alot zeh al zeh. And each one is above the other. Amida, when you stand up, hibli tokef. Then it doesn't have strength. It's just standing up. Kima, when you say something standing, so then when you speak about the act of standing, that's something which can be pushed down. It's in the process of standing. When you speak about something that's standing already, kima, it's extent, hudavar mi amkayem. So that's something that's already, it's going to last. Nitzav means it has representation. Nitzav means it has dominion. Hu ha'omed b'memshala v'istarerut. That's something that's already standing over. Amida, standing up. Kima, standing firm. Nitzav, standing over. It's standing over something else. It has a position. Kemamar, as the verse says, when Yosef recounts his dream to his brothers, he says, V'inei kama alumati, my bundle arose, stood firm, kama, it stood firm, v'gam nitzava, and then it was standing over the other ones. So now was already in a position of control. And then your bundle surrounded my bundle of wheat. And bow down to my bundle. That was Yosef's dream. So you see, our Torah is standing firm and standing over. It's standing over with control. You don't have any guard. You don't have any governor. You don't have any policeman looking over what you do in the Torah. Who knows if you were focused this morning when he said, Shema Yisrael Hashem Lokeinu Hashem Echad. No one's between you and Hashem. The only one that's watching over when you make a bracha, did you do it with Kavanah or not? That's the only one is Hashem. Ve'in ki avu aleinu alafim min hashanim asher yu ba'olam chachamim achukamim. And even though thousands of years have passed, and there have been many wise men in the world during this time, rabim chen shlemim, many and also very whole, asher b'chokhmatam u'tmunatam lo haya matzor lehem lirkov shamayim u'lechabek zrot olam, that in their wisdom they could ride the heavens, they could, so to speak, encompass the world, v'lo haya b'yadam neshanot gam kutza shel yud. And as great as they were, as wise as they were, they couldn't erase a corner of a yud. A yud's the smallest letter, and they couldn't make a single change in the Torah. You don't find in all the generations, you had the greatest wise men, and you don't find in traditional Judaism that they were ever able to change one thing to say, okay, this year pork is permissible. Now we could eat pork. No one got away with that. The most minute change was unacceptable. Again, in traditional Judaism, every generation had their Korach. It began with Moshe Rabbeinu. He also had a Korach who came and wanted to uproot the whole Torah. So one generation it was the Karaites, and another generation it was the Reform movement, and another generation it was the Conservative movement, another generation it was the Kutim, and another generation it was the Sadducees. Each generation had their people who wanted to uproot the Torah. But within Orthodox Judaism, within traditional Judaism, so even though you had many leaders and many pious and intelligent and tremendous people with tremendous control, no one was able to change even the corner of one letter. Ulatil davar ma she'asah Torah, and to permit something that the Torah forbade. Kasher tireh b'Shlomo melech alav ha'shalom, as you find with regard to King Solomon, alomro ani arbe v'lo asu. King Solomon said, the Torah says, don't have too many wives so your heart doesn't go astray. I'll have many wives and I won't go astray. He'id al atzmo. King Solomon says about himself, after he thought he could outsmart the Torah. The Torah says, don't have too many wives, so the king shouldn't have too many wives, so his heart shouldn't go astray. Shlomo Amel says about himself, the more you know, the more you end up getting angry. I thought I would outsmart the Torah, I could have many wives and I won't err, look at what I did. V'marod, Shlomo Amel said further, ki me'adam she'yavocha ha'melech etash ha'kvar asal. Who's going to come after the king after what's been done? The king said, don't have too many wives. God said, don't have too many wives. Who thinks he could outsmart him? King Solomon said about himself. And we cannot add to the Torah either. The only thing we could do is make fences to protect the Torah. And this too is included in the concept of yatziv, ruling over. Didn't say it is firmly standing, but rather it is standing over. That's to point out how precious the Torah is in the eyes of those who learn it and uphold it. To the point where every generation has new stringencies that its predecessor did not have. Because there's new doubt, there are new areas where we're uncertain, and if we cannot verify, suddenly we cannot be lenient in areas where our predecessors could. As you find in the laws of certain animals, if they have certain blemishes, so then you cannot eat those animals. And as generations pass, the capacity to discern between this type of blemish and that type of blemish is going down. It's a tradition. You got to master it. And suddenly you find generations where they're being more stringent, they're prohibiting certain blemishes, which previous generations were able to say, no, that's not exactly the color that's prohibited. We don't aspire to that. We try to hold on to the tradition exactly. But we sometimes lose elements of the exactness in the tradition, and suddenly we have to be more stringent than our predecessors were. And the laws of Nida and the laws of family purity. So also, we have areas where we're more stringent. A woman that gives birth, technically the Torah says, if it's a boy, so the first 7 days, that whatever blood comes out is prohibited. And afterwards, it's not considered menstrual blood. The couple is permitted. If it's a girl, so you have 14 days and then you have 66 days. Halachically today, we don't do that. The Bible says it's permissible. We say today that until the woman's clean, we treat all blood as the same. But the Torah says, 7 days it's not menstrual blood. After that, 7 days it is, and after that it isn't. So how come a couple is prohibited for 2 months after childbirth, until the woman comes clean? Because things changed. The whole concept of that blood is not menstrual blood is contingent on laws of what state was she in before she gave birth. And we don't have such a clear picture of understanding how to do the count before childbirth. So being that we enter realms of doubt, so even though technically the Torah permitted it, technically you'd go back 1,000 years ago, it was permitted. Suddenly today, it's prohibited. So he says, you see, in many areas of halacha we do that. Uvdinei brachot, same thing with regard to blessings. You had generations of Sfardim that would make an after blessing after drinking tea. Even though you drank it with sips, you didn't drink a shear, you didn't drink the amount, the volume in a set amount of time, but still they held you do make an after blessing. We don't. After drinking tea, we say if you didn't drink a revis, if you didn't drink 4.4 ounces, however much is a revis, if you didn't drink that within a few seconds, then you don't make an after blessing. Tea that you sipped, you don't make an after blessing on. V'chadome alben, you have many examples to this. V'chulam idagapen lo yamdu ala kav amiti. Why are we more stringent? because we're concerned. We want to hit the truth. We want to get it right. So when you know what you got is right, you do what you know. And when you're in doubt, you're more stringent. That's why we're more careful to ensure we don't do that which is prohibited. And we accept it with love, because it is the pleasantness of Hashem with that. And there is milk and honey flowing in the sweets of the Torah, so we don't want to transgress it. So he says, when we say the Torah is yetziv, so to speak, the Torah is consistently ruling over us, what we're saying is it's dynamic. It's not static. And the Torah is evolving. And with the generations, we sometimes find the Torah standing over us in areas where previously we could have been more lenient. Now we're more careful. You have that issue, certain oils that they use in making chocolates on Pesach. Are they kitnios or not? So today, we here in Israel, at least, they're very stringent. Things that I grew up eating on Pesach, suddenly here in Israel, they became kitnios. Okay, fine. So each generation with its stringencies. But bottom line, he says, the Torah is yetziv. The Torah has dominion over everything we do, and we accept that lovingly, and we don't try to veer from that. We quite the contrary. We take extra care to ensure we stick to that. We see that as a gift, as a special relationship we have with Hashem. He isn't our neighbor, who we sometimes see and we don't see, but rather He's our Creator, who is part of our lives in every move we do.
How can